I am Francis, and I am a extremely grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, and grateful to be in this space to continue to connect with my recovery and to continue to remember that abstinence is such a wonderful gift to receive. I'll talk a little bit about what it was like before I came to OA and getting into OA and where I'm at now. I picked up sugar, and I can remember distinctly. I'll be 61 next week, and I can remember the candy store at the corner of my block that I lived on, and the plexiglass with all the different sections of things to purchase, and getting money, and being able to purchase penny candies. And I really feel like that was perhaps the beginning of my compulsive overeating. My mother told me that I sucked my thumb straight out of the womb. And even as a baby who couldn't see, she would pull my thumb out of my mouth, and I would find my thumb, it would find its way back into my mouth. So I guess I was looking for soothing, even as a baby. And it just got worse and worse as I developed into a young girl. I used to hide food. I remember I'm very visual, so I can, like, images will come to me as I'm talking about a subject. And I was probably about maybe 8 or 9. And I remember I didn't want my mother to know that I had eaten a food in between meals. And it was summertime. I had on shorts. She was about to walk through the living room. I was eating something, binging on something, and I sat on it so she couldn't see that I had it. And I just remember that feeling of hiding and that feeling of shame. And then ultimately it would show up on my body. I was an overweight child. My parents really didn't know what to do with me. Around my body, my father used to grudgingly, he took a shop clothes shopping, and he would grudgingly take me to the chubby section. That's what it was called. And I remember feeling shame that I needed special clothing. And I also just would spend time reading and eating and compulsively overeating and binging, straight through my childhood. And it was painful. It was painful. I wanted to be thin. I thought being thin would make me happy, that that would fix everything. But I also didn't know how to stop eating compulsively. It was just a safety mechanism for me, and it was a way for me, I don't know, to shut down, to soothe myself. There was a lot going on in my family, a lot of things that were traumatic and good things. And even the good things got obliterated by the trauma. And then as I came into my adulthood, I discovered dieting. I didn't know what dieting was before when I was a kid. And I was like, oh, you can manipulate food to lose weight. And so I would, or I would find, whatever diet pill, whatever diet, whatever. I knew how to restrict. I knew how to, eat in a certain way so that I would lose weight. And then ultimately, I would always gain the weight again. And for me, it became about body obsession. One of the things that I did in my 20s was my weight fluctuated constantly. And whenever I would run into someone that I hadn't seen in a little while, I would obsess in the beginning of the conversation, and maybe even throughout the whole conversation, what size was I the last time they saw me? So that I could know how to feel about myself and feel badly if I, had gained weight and worried about what they would think of me. And luckily, in my mid-20s, someone 12-stepped me in another program. I love telling this story. She was a colleague of mine who became a friend, and she would go out to lunch. And I said to her, "Where do you go at lunchtime?" And she said, "Do you really want to know?" And I said, "I do. I really want to know." And she took me to a meeting without explaining anything to me. And I just was floored that people were so honest. Like, I couldn't believe it. I went to my first 12-step meeting. It was a pretty big meeting, probably 40 to maybe 20 to 30 people, maybe. It was a lunchtime meeting in Manhattan. It was only a block and a half away from our job. And she actually qualified. And I remember feeling so much warmth and love for her after she qualified. And she explained a little bit to me. And I kept coming back to that fellowship for a couple of years. And all the while, I was struggling with food. You know, I was really binging. I was a single mom. I would hide food from my daughter. I would like wait for her to go to sleep, pull the curtains down, turn the phone off, so I could binge and watch TV as like this, you know, relaxation thing. And it was painful. You know, it was really painful for me. And then one day I read an article in a magazine, and a woman talked about her weight loss journey. And at the end of the article, they had resources, and they had Overeaters Anonymous at the in the back of the magazine. And that was really what prompted me to go to OA. I had a really nasty bottom where I went to an ATM machine to get cash so I could buy food to binge on. It was raining. I had to go to another ATM because that one wasn't working in another neighborhood in the rain with my little daughter. You know, ended up at an all-you-can-eat restaurant and went to a bakery before that. And I got home and I felt like I had dragged my daughter to a cocaine spot. Like, I felt like it was that same fervor. And I felt awful. I felt awful about it because it was just something that just took over me and I couldn't stop. And I started coming to OA. And I came reluctantly. I didn't want anyone to take my food away. I didn't want anyone to tell me. I came in really angry. I was scared. I was scared that people were going to tell me I couldn't eat certain foods, or I couldn't do this, or I couldn't do that. And that's not what happened. I would come to meetings and I would sit there and I'd sit in the back and I'd listen. And then people would just smile at me. And it would make me want to come back again and made me want to keep coming back. And I'd go to my meetings. And I remember there was a woman who had signed up to Laura. She had signed up to be the newcomer greeter. And she would call me and she would say, "Hi, you know, how you doing? This is what's happening with me." And you know, and I'm like, "Well, what is she calling me for? You know, I just binged, or I just want, you know, like, why is she calling me?" And she just kept calling me and calling me. And then one day I called her and I said, "I want to stop having this particular food every day after meetings," or, you know, she said, "Well, you could put it in a freezer and you can have it tomorrow." And I was like, "Oh, okay." You know, and then she would call me and we would read OA literature together. And then I would carry the OA literature pamphlets in my purse so that I could read it when I needed it. And I used to travel from Manhattan to the Bronx where I lived on the train, and I'd read my literature on the way home. And then I was at a meeting and I realized that I would get some meetings late and leave early. And I was like, "This is really hindering my OA recovery, my recovery from compulsive overeating." So I went to a church. I got on my knees, St. Patrick's Cathedral. I got on my knees and I prayed to God to let OA people get close to me because I saw that that was the key for me really getting stride in my recovery. And I found a sponsor that I went through all 12 steps with. She was amazing. She was amazing. I read my fourth step in maybe two or three different junctures. And, you know, one time I didn't want to eat. The next time I did want to eat after just, you know, regurgitating all of this stuff. And she would just tell me, you know, "Me too," or she would just listen. There was no, that fifth step was just such a gift. It was such a gift. And shortly after that, someone saw me and she said, "You look lighter." And I was like, "You know what? I feel lighter." I gave away a bunch of resentments and anger, and I was fueled with anger and resentment. You know, I really felt like people were harming me and I was unloved and I wasn't paid attention to in the right way by various people. And the steps really transformed me. I remember my relationship with my brother. I was really angry at him that he wasn't more of a father figure to my daughter in the way I wanted him to be. And then one day I realized that my brother had children that I wasn't paying attention to. And I thought to myself, why don't you love them the way that you would like him to love your daughter? And I started spending time with my nephew and I started doing different things. And, the 12 steps have helped me change my life in such a way that I can really come from a place of love. And even when I falter, I can go back to steps, 10 and say, that didn't feel right. I need to correct that behavior. Let me make amends. Let me really do some inventory on how I'm behaving. And I do that almost daily. I live with a husband, I have an adult daughter, and I have a 10-year-old daughter. And it's a lot. I love my family, and it is a recipe for me to act out because I'm dealing with other people that are different than I am and have different needs. And managing, for me, managing like what my boundaries are, how I can give to them, what I can give to them, and in a way that I want to come back to being loving. One of my biggest shortcomings is impatience. I feel like I inherited it from my dad. It got exacerbated growing up in New York, which is just a very speedy city. And I used to really feel like people should really move faster for me, that they should get on my train and move as quickly as I do. And I just realized that it is one of the things on a daily basis. I have to take, a breath. I have to slow down. I went on a walk with my husband last night. I was a little frustrated with just dealing with the whole family last night. And he and I talked about going for a walk. And at first I was like, oh, forget it. I'll just go for the walk by myself. And I was like, no, just continue with the plan. We went for a walk and he's like, I need to slow down. Halfway through the walk, he's like, I need to slow down. And I thought, oh, I didn't even realize that I walk quickly on a leisurely walk. Like, I really didn't realize like that I like, why am I walking fast on a leisurely walk? There's no race. I don't have to hurry up. We're outside, the stars are out, we're having a conversation. And I was so grateful to him that he slowed it down. I should let him know that. I didn't let him know in the moment. We were kind of busy sharing with each other some things. But I'm grateful that I'm the kind of person, because of the 12-step programs, that can, really self-reflect, work on the steps, work on myself, keep the focus on myself, keep my side of the street clean, try to do my best. I'm grateful I turn my food over every day to someone. There's periods where she and I don't do it because we kind of get busy. But then when we get back on track, it's such a relief. I let someone else know what I'm eating. I'm so thrilled. In the last week, I've been willing to cook for myself. That always makes my abstinence that much easier. The meals are planned, they're in the refrigerator. I just have to grab something, heat it up or take it with me. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to wonder what I'm eating. It is such a relief for me to be able to do that. So I'm so grateful to God that I have had the willingness to be able to do that, to really take care of myself. And I mentioned God because I really found a reconnection to a higher power in this program. I really had to pray and meditate. I remember one time I was telling someone I was going to a salad bar and I was nervous about portions and what I would pick. And she said, God is interested in your food. And she mentioned the second step. And I was like, really? I was a newcomer. Like, really? Like, God, who's running the world and the universe, like is interested in this like little tiny, and my idea of God has changed over the years, and it's my ancestors, it's spirits, it's all kinds of things that are supporting me on a level that I can't see, but I know I need. I had a crisis of faith one time where I really did not have faith. I was in recovery. I ended up back in the food, and even though I had a lot of friends and meetings and my husband and my daughter at the time, My connection to God, I felt so empty when I didn't have faith. It was scary that when I didn't feel that connection to a higher power and realized that no human could really fill that for me. I'm so grateful to be able to share my recovery today. Thank you all for listening, and I'll end there.